Good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's Village Board meeting. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter. Here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
All present and accounted for. Is there a motion to modify or adopt this evening's agenda? Trustee Green. Anyone? Trustee Green.
Move to adopt.
Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. Would you like to announce them?
We have received the absentee ballots, so as of Monday, we will begin in-person voting. If you would like to absentee vote, if you would prefer, you are able to request them to be mailed to you. If you have any questions, just call our office or stop in.
Thank you, and I have another announcement. Last night I was very pleased to accept on behalf of the Village of Alloway a special dedication from the Alloway Village Band. It is a sculpture that was created for the Alloway Village Band from an artist out of Door County, and it is in remembrance of all past, present, and future band members from the Village of Alloway. And if you have never attended one of their concerts, I strongly suggest you do. It's a great night of entertainment. But you can it's outside the community center on Webster Avenue. So it's a 7-foot cylinder stainless steel structure, and they're going to be adding lights to it and a plaque. So go take a look. Are there any other announcements from the board?
Lorelei is sponsoring their annual Oktoberfest Friday and Saturday at the Lorelei. They've closed off the street there, with our permission, of course. And we'll have live entertainment and food and all that good stuff.
Thank you, sir. Any other announcements, Trustee Green?
Heritage Hill is starting their Halloween celebrations mid-October, October 15th and the 22nd. And then also they have a Farm to Fork seasonal heritage dinner, and it's October 27th, but you have to have tickets ahead of time. Halloween, you can just show up.
Thank you. Any other announcements from the board? Any announcements from staff? Trevor.
I just want to remind everyone of the farmer's market. We have 3 weeks left. It goes through October 6th, 3:30 to 6:30, right outside here. It is supposed to rain this week, but pending no tornadoes or lightning, we'll still have the market, so you can still buy your produce.
Great. Thank you. Anything else?
And it appears you have a new hat to wear, Trevor, for that event?
I'm sorry?
It appears that you have a new hat to wear for the event, in case of rain or sun.
I do. Yep.
Good. What hat would that be, Trustee Genrich?
Well, I think you'd have to show it to us.
You have pictures. I hear it's someone's birthday. Happy birthday, Trevor.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here tonight. Okay. Item number 4, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on any issue that is not on this evening's agenda? Sir, come on up.
My name is Bill Swayze, 1600 South Irwin Avenue. Actually, one of the items that I'm going to speak on is on the agenda, but I can't wait. I have someplace that I have to be.
Okay.
Give me that. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Imagine you go to vote for the President of the United States on November 4th. There aren't any names on the ballot. Just one question. Who do you want to be president? Now what do you do? I imagine we get hundreds, if not thousands, of different names. So what has that solved? Are we better off now than we were before? I don't think so. Who's going to decide? The city president? Congress? I don't know. Prior to 1957, Ford Motor Company conducted an opinion poll. Notice I said opinion poll. I did not say survey. The question was, what do you want to see on a new car that we'll build? They analyzed the results after they all came in and built four new models of a new car, the Edsel. It was tailored to the specific desires of the American people. Ford spent $250 million developing those four cars, the Edsels. They didn't sell. In 3 years, they did away with them. It cost Ford, in today's dollars, $2 billion for that faux pas. They lost $3,200 on every Edsel they ever made. So, opinion poll versus survey. Why does Alloway keep using opinion polls? First one that I'm going to talk about of two tonight is the Brown County tax refund debate. No clear edict from that. Where do we go from there? Who's going to decide? Obviously, the board. What criteria? How helpful was that? I think it was helpful in showing residents' dissatisfaction on a number of different levels, which can be helpful. But I don't think it addressed the central question. The second opinion poll that I'm going to talk about tonight, which is the next item on the agenda, is naming the Alloway Bridge. Who do you want it to name it after? Are we right back to the president or the Edsel? That's going to not tell us who we should name it after. I looked over the list. I think there are several people on there who would qualify for that. And I could add, after 26 years in Alloway, I could add several other names of people who would be very well deserving of that. Well, I can only think of two reasons why Alloway would insist on using these quote-unquote opinion polls and not surveys. Number one, they really don't understand, somebody doesn't understand the pitfalls of these opinion polls as opposed to a survey. You know, that's why we only have two candidates on the ballot for American president. You know, somebody is going to win, somebody's going to lose. Everybody can have their shot at it. Everybody had their say, but it's done. It's over with. You like it or not like it, but you had your vote, you had your say. And somebody else didn't decide for you. Or number two, somebody that put this together really doesn't want the voters to decide. You can say, well, if you put out an opinion poll so you can express your opinion, are you part of it? No, you're not. It's a device to make people think that they're included when they're not. if there's no clear result, somebody else is going to make the decision. In other words, there may be possible political motives or political payback. Could be not knowing any different. Well, I don't know. I don't know. But it doesn't make sense to me. Opinion polls can and do cause voter or resident dissatisfaction. I wanted them to spend that tax money on my street. It's one of the worst streets in Alloway. It doesn't happen. They didn't listen to me. Instead, they're spending it on who knows what, okay? That is the problem that I see with these political polls in this particular case. If there's a survey, it's either X or Y, or one of three choices, whatever. But at least then you have a clear-cut choice, a clear result that you can act on without having to be concerned about creating dissatisfaction within the village. People feel like their voice is being ignored. So, what would I recommend? On the Brown County tax, after I had spoken on this at an earlier meeting, I had the opportunity, I finally had some time, and I met with Brad, and I found out that the balance on the water debt is a lot higher than last time I was familiar with it, a few years back. And I guess a lot of that had to do with the new water tower that was added. And that debt was merged in, and it was all refinanced. So that's kind of a done deal. So that eliminates the suggestion that I had made earlier. But I have a different suggestion. My suggestion is very simple. No cost to administer, very clear-cut, and everybody is satisfied. Everybody gets their piece of the pie. Simply take one of the items on the water bill. And I don't care which one it is. It could be the stormwater for $750, or the public fire, or the sewer, and figure out how long it would take. You take all that money from the stadium, and you put it in that fund. Let's say it's the sewer bill, okay? You put all that money in the sewer bill fund, and now you pay every resident that's paying water bill that $450 or whatever it is every month. You take that off the bill, and so they're getting a $450 credit every month, month after month, until it exhausts the amount of money that came in from the county, from the state, I guess it is. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. On the Webster Avenue Bridge, I think that bridge has probably been there over 100 years. They haven't resurfaced it. I think everybody knows where it is. It just goes over a railroad track. So I guess the question is, why are we all of a sudden going to name this 100-plus-year-old trestle over a railroad track? Is there an answer to that?
I believe the answer is because we saw it as an opportunity to acknowledge someone in the village.
Okay.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
I also think that at the time when it was being, you have an opportunity to put a name on the bridge during the building process.
if you miss that opportunity to put plates where you can put the name, no matter if it's the street name or whatever, you miss the opportunity. So I think came from there too.
It couldn't be added later?
I think it was part of the construction and the.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think there, as I said before, there are many good people in this village. Have quite a history with Alloway and would also qualify for that. And so for them to have their name on there or even not, not have their name on the list and not be chosen, or vice versa, their name not on the list, it sounds like some favoritism going on there. I don't know. Are we going to name the water tower? How about the roundabout down here? Again, like, you know, this is not a bridge over the river like Mason Street Bridge, for example. It's not a landmark location where, without naming it, people aren't going to know where the heck it is. Frankly, I think this has politics written all over it. And favoritism, and I don't like it. I would recommend that if you must name the bridge over the railroad trestle, that you simply name it the Webster Avenue Railroad Bridge. Let's cut out the politics, the favoritism, the division among residents and so forth, or just drop it and just don't name it. We got along just fine for 100 years without doing that. Don't add to the residents' dissatisfaction or resentment of the board or whatever. I don't see any good coming out of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Judy.
Judy Poe, 2375 Riverside Drive. We have how many residents in the village of Alloway?
About 14,000.
How many cards did you send out, and how much did you put on the internet asking people to reference names for this bridge that, I agree, nowadays you name everything, but usually you charge to put the name up. This is no charge. And you got back how many responses on that?
I don't know. 15 to 20.
400
yeah.
to 600?
Yeah,
no, 15 to 20.
15 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what we have here is what we have in our country, which is a lot of apathy. I don't notice many people coming to these meetings either.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what you do, it just doesn't seem to make much of any difference. So if anybody is offended by whatever name gets put on that bridge, I think they should be asked whether they voted for something or suggested something. I don't think it's fair that somebody's nose be out of joint because their name hasn't been put on it if their name wasn't offered by someone. I think that's a fair statement. Maybe not. Maybe I'm prejudiced. What do you mean, maybe? The other thing that I would like to request is, since you are obviously my chosen form of entertainment twice a month on Tuesday evenings, and I'm sorry that I passed you up with the car, I could have given you a ride. I would ask once again that when you're using the side mic over here, that you just pick it up and hold it. I've had my hearing checked recently, and it's very good. But I really, truly can't hear four-fifths of what's being said from the side table. And it isn't that I don't love you people. It's just that speak into the mic, because every time you have it sitting in front of you and you raise your head, that sound gets lost.
Okay.
So that's my two cents. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Mr. O'Rourke.
Kim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'd just like to request that all meetings of the board, except under extreme circumstances, be held in public. Extreme circumstances would involve disciplinary actions against village employees, that type of thing. But when the village is thinking about spending money, when they're thinking about selling assets, when they're talking about zoning changes, those types of things are required to be in public. And by not keeping records of your closed meetings and then having properties show up with a different type of land use than is actually on the zoning code, that in effect becomes de facto zoning, and that's not allowed in the state of Wisconsin. So by not keeping records of your closed meetings and allowing apartments to go into single-family home lots, by allowing apartments to go into commercial land, by rezoning commercial land into residential land, the technical term, the magic word, is de facto zoning, and you're not allowed to do that. So that's why all meetings of the village board should be open. When there's offers on the table for village property, like you'll be discussing later tonight, that should be held open. Everybody should see what's being talked about. And that way that there's no questions as to if anybody got a sweetheart deal. And then finally, the Plan Commission got a tour of the pump house this week or last week. It was noticed that the roof is collapsing, that the facade is in complete and total disrepair. It's at risk of, the roof on that building is at risk of collapsing should we have a blizzard, which is not uncommon. So the pump house needs to be repaired before winter sets in. And if the village has decided not to sell the property, they should go ahead and repair the roof so it doesn't collapse on the garage and the water softener room. And that facade for the neighborhood should be repaired. You're giving everybody else thousands of dollars. You should take care of your own house. And the only repair that's been made to that building since it became available for sale in the last 8 years has been a bronze plaque that the village gave itself for having this wonderful historic building, and they let it go into neglected disrepair. It's a shame, and that something has to be done before winter, and if the village decides not to sell it, they're going to need to fix it themselves. Thanks.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to say anything this evening? Clarence is going to be quiet. Hearing none, we will move on to number 5, action regarding naming of the Webster Avenue Bridge. Do I have a motion on this item?
What kind of motion are you looking for? To move forward on naming it or naming it?
Actually, I guess it could be to name it, to not name it, and if so, what would you like to name it?
The most common response that I've heard is I'll make a motion that we name it, and we name it the Webster Street Bridge. Quite honestly, I'm tired of hearing about it. Just if it's been that way for 100 years, leave it the Webster Street Bridge.
I second that.
Avenue or street?
Pardon me?
Avenue or street? I'm not sure which it is.
Okay.
Avenue.
We have a first and second to, or a nomination, motion and second to.
Yeah, it's on the, didn't open up the board. That was on the agenda, so I didn't talk about that.
I'll get to that point, Mr. O'Rourke. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Webster.
I was just going to suggest to modify the motion away from Webster Street, and I believe it's technically Webster Avenue. So the I'd suggest changing the motion from Webster Street Bridge to Webster Avenue Bridge.
I would agree with that.
Okay. And I think the whole the whole discussion, I think there were some good ideas and some good intentions and all of that, but we call the Don Tillman Bridge the Mason Street Bridge, and I think it's technically still the Don Tillman Bridge, and nobody calls it that. So.
And nobody knows it by that.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we call this whatever it is we would have come up with, it could be confusing. And I mean, some of these names are quaint and they're cute and they maybe pay homage to some individuals and all the rest, but rather than go down that road and try to pick somebody and slight somebody else, this makes a lot of sense.
And we've got a lot of great, if for people who have not seen the list, we have a lot of great historical figures actually on the list, and people who have served the village on the list. Clarence is one of them who's in the audience. And we have a lot of worthy suggestions by far, but at least the feedback I'm getting from the residents that I've been talking to at the north side is just keep it Webster Avenue Bridge and make it simple. So I have to concur.
Comments I've heard so far I would agree with. I was a little taken back by being accused of politics and naming the bridge.
That's interesting.
I personally saw it as an opportunity for Alloway, a community in which there's great pride among its residents, to honor its own. We have Webster Avenue. Webster Avenue is named after Daniel Webster. I don't know that Daniel Webster ever stepped foot in Alloway. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong to name the street that, or Clay Street, or any other great historical person, but history grows, in my opinion. It evolves. And we have, for example, Claude's Crossing was an example. Father Claude Alloway, he's great. He has a bridge named after him, he has schools named after him, and he has a village named after him. So I think that's enough recognition for one person, personally. Rufus Kellogg, great pioneer banker and agriculturalist. He lived in Green Bay, never lived in Alloway. Not that he didn't have anything to do with Alloway, but he never lived here.
He's buried here.
Pardon me?
He's buried here.
Good for him. Webster Avenue Bridge. Like I said, Daniel Webster, as far as I know, never lived in Alloway. And I was looking at it from the perspective of honoring people who live here and have provided public service. Not naming it anything, I think that's fair, and for the reason that we don't like to hurt feelings. The three that I liked very much for every reason that I just... Robinson Hill, we have a district or a neighborhood named after Robinson Hill, so I think that's good enough. I liked Charnisky Bridge, Matuzak Crossing, and Otto Schrader.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those three because... those are three Alloweans, as I like to refer to people who live in Alloway, who have provided great public service, have a right to be honored. Not that there aren't others, but I saw this as an opportunity. The reason, in my opinion, that we opened it up to an opinion poll is because I don't know, personally, I don't know everyone who's lived in Alloway and what they've done for the community. So I thought it was a great opportunity to open it up to the public, to allow the people who live in Alloway to give us feedback. And as Judy said, we didn't get a lot, but we asked. If we didn't ask, my guess is we would have been condemned for not asking. With that all having been said, I think we have an opportunity to honor the folks, and I'd almost say, okay, why don't we put three names on the bridge? That might get a little crowded. Mr. Matuzak stood up at our last meeting and said, I'm honored to be named, but if you don't go with me, go with Otto Schrader because he was a great man. I think that shows the character of Mr. Matuzak, and I thank you for that. I had to share that with you because I was actually very surprised that we were accused of political bantering on that. But if we don't name the bridge something other than Webster Street Bridge or Webster Avenue Bridge, I would suggest to the board that we find some way to honor the people who have come up and find a way to honor our own. So that was my opinion. Any other thoughts, ideas? I can't disagree because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. But I do want those three folks to know that I respect them a great deal and thank them for everything they've done. So we have a motion and a second.
Mr. President,
yes, sir.
I think that it should be noted that one of the reasons we did this was to open it up to a little more enjoyment of the village and to the people. You could name it the Citizens Bridge if you wanted to. I don't think that was the point. The point was that if there was a group or an entity that was interested in creating a groundswell to name it, it would have happened. And it didn't. We gave them that opportunity. It didn't hurt us to put this out there. Certainly we weren't playing the politics of it. And to come in and dump your load and walk out is not really something I have much value for. So whatever we do, we will have done it after vetting the process, thinking it through, honoring those people by having their names put on it, if nothing else, and acknowledging the fact that they've contributed to our community. So whatever decision we make, it sounds as though we may have made one, it'll be right to the time.
Thank you. And to go along with what you just said, last night when I was at the Village Band, the Alloway Village Band is starting its 35th year. And if you look at their website, it says that they celebrate neighborhood pride, community spirit, and patriotism. And last night, they celebrated Alloway by giving us our statue. And so to Trustee Dennis's point, we have a right and an opportunity to celebrate Alloway and the people who live here. So I think it was a good thing to go through. We have a motion and a second on the table to name the Webster Avenue Bridge, the Webster Avenue Bridge. If there's no opposition, we'll suspend the rules and allow Mr. O'Rourke. Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. We have a wonderful school in Alloway, one of the best in the city, named Webster School. Those kids don't know why it's called Webster. I think it's because it's the street or the dictionary guy. Daniel Webster and Henry Clay were pre-Civil War politicians. The Green Bay ran out of presidents and trees, so they started naming them after great politicians and great leaders and members of Congress. So that's how we got Daniel Webster and Henry Clay. Clay Street has nothing to do with the soil. Webster and Clay were friends of one of our founding fathers, Judge Doty from Alloway. So simply, it should be the Webster Bridge. That's the simplest thing. That's what everybody agrees upon. But the official name of who Webster was should be on the bridge, and the kids can then find out who Daniel Webster was and how it led to the Compromise of 1850, which eventually led to the Civil War. So that's why you need to recognize the official name, not just the shorthand name of Webster Avenue. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. We'll pick up the rules. We have a motion on the table to name the Webster Avenue Bridge the Webster Avenue Bridge. And just for clarification, do we want to say Webster Avenue Bridge or Webster Avenue? Webster Avenue Bridge. Okay. After the meeting or the public comments, is there any change to anyone's mind? Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. That was a lot. lot of work for Webster Avenue. But thought it was a good thing to go through. Number six, Brown County Municipal Recycling Agreement Amendment Number 7. Mr. Burnt, we haven't heard from you for a couple of weeks, so welcome back. And please speak into the microphone.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
This is an amendment to the recycling agreement we have with Brown County. This comes up every year at this time. It is for a recycling efficiency grant. It typically is in the range of about $5,000. It is for a supplemental recycling program that all the metro communities participate in, administered by Brown County Solid Waste. I recommend that we approve it. It makes us eligible for this additional funding. One of the things that was done in the past is the brochure that comes out every year, the booklet on recycling. That's one of the activities we undertook in the past. So there's always something that we do, and we get reimbursed from the state for this, so it adds to our total recycling revenue from the state.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on this matter? Trustee Genrick.
I'll move to approve.
Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 7, public work action regarding Public Works Committee minutes dated September 14th, 2016. Specifically to discuss number A, it's our letter 7A, Riverside Drive Pedestrian Crossing Engineering Services Contract. We'll take them one by one. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
I have a second. Seconded by Trustee Genrick. Any discussion?
Has the issue with regard to the terms and conditions been resolved, or is that still going back and forth a little bit?
It is in the works. There's a couple of items in there that I believe we have resolved. What I am waiting for is, and the item that is of most concern, is that the draft terms and conditions limited the engineering liability to the engineering fee, and we have rejected that in asking them to provide a reasonable limit of liability. Maybe the project cost, for example, is a typical number. And I'm not surprised that that was the engineering firm's proposal. It's fairly typical. Mm-hmm. So we're negotiating, and basically between Attorney Duffy, myself, and me and Hunt, we'll get these questions resolved. And I think we will in the next day or two, we'll have them resolved.
Can I suggest an amended motion to make it subject to the approval or yes. mutual agreement of the terms and conditions of the contract?
Definitely. Jim, that was your understanding?
Yes. So we have an amended motion to approve the contract with the suggested changes.
You know, this is we had the benefit of discussing this at Public Works, and we've certainly gotten a lot of feedback over the last couple of years from village residents about the importance of safe crossings over Riverside Drive. And it amazes me how expensive it has to get to just get from one side of the road to the other. But to do it right, this seems to be the best approach. A lot of research went into it and all that, so I would support it.
For anyone in the audience, as you may know, after attending other village board meetings, we did an opinion poll early last year for our community and asked them what was important to the folks in Alloway. And overwhelmingly, we heard safe crossings of Riverside Drive and to get down to the Fox River. And when we started these discussions, we were going to be reconstructing Riverside Drive in 2018, I think it was. Starting in 2017, actually.
21 and 22.
When we started the whole discussion.
Yes.
And So we sat down, public opinion meetings. We identified good areas to have crossings. And in a recent Public Works meeting, we recommended that instead of waiting till 2021, when the construction is now going to take place, that we not wait to have safe crossings. And the recommendation early on from outside sources was to put up a blinking sign on the side of the road. We didn't believe that to be safe enough for our pedestrians, so we pushed for what is known as a hawk crossing, which people can walk up, press a button, the light turns red, traffic has to stop. And those cost approximately $100,000 each for the construction and the materials, and it's about $30,000 for the design. Tonight we're being asked to approve the contract to have Mead and Hunt go forward and do the design. Unfortunately, they're only doing it for one right now, and that is on the south side of 172, just north of Breyer. We've asked for a second on the north end of town, and we didn't get good news initially, and we will continue to fight for that. If something as important to our village as safety of crossing is something that we have to fight for. So that's the background. The good news is we're getting at least one safe crossing on the south side of town. We have one at 172 currently, and we'll fight for another one up north.
President Renker?
Yes.
Could you clarify for everyone who you said we got bad news on our proposal for north of 172? Who delivered the bad news?
The DOT in an email to Craig saying that we hadn't gotten a permit, we hadn't been approved for a crossing up north. And so in our last Public Works meeting we said, ask for the permit.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the permit. And we'll put it up north. We talked about putting it up by St. Francis Park to cross there for the folks in the north end of town. And the response came back, and it was just an initial response we got yesterday or today, saying that they're uncomfortable with doing that. They thought they would just do one and see how it works. Well, I personally don't want to wait and see someone get killed crossing on the north end of town. So my concern about approving this is that if we approve it, we're saying we're good with the whole plan. And personally, I'm not. Personally, I want the crossing on the north end of town. So I'm happy to approve the work. I want to get it going. I do have a question. They don't have anywhere in here when the project would be complete. Do you know when the project should be complete?
From the consultant's design standpoint, the schedule they proposed was bidding the project in late December.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we can meet that schedule, that I'm not sure of, but that's what they proposed, which means if they bid the project in late December, the construction would be sometime after the first of the year.
So it would be?
It could be winter construction. I don't think there's any reason why they can't do this project in the winter.
Okay. So it would be done for spring for sure.
Could be, yeah.
And seeing that we're trying to get the trail, well, it would be nice to have it done sooner rather than later.
We wouldn't be able to stripe the roadway until warm weather, but mm-hmm. the construction of the signaling could be done, yes.
Okay. Trustee Green?
Yeah, my intent with the motion is that the services contract goes through with the caveats, not that we're okay with the plan. So I'd say we should keep fighting for the north end of the village. I don't want to hold this one up fighting for the north end of the village to get started, but I just want everybody to know it. At least that this is how I'm taking my motion, not that we're giving up on the north end by any stretch of the imagination. Because
okay.
If you've ever tried to get across that road, I think we should take some of the DOT people and tell them they need to figure out how to get their families across that road.
And I'm not here beating them on them. I think they're doing their job, and there are jobs to help them reinvent their job.
I won't beat them up, but they don't have to deal with that road.
Yeah.
Is their families. I'd love to know some DOT families who do live on the north or the south end of our village who do try to get across there. because I'm not sure how many of you guys have tried to cross, but the only crossing we have right now is at 172 at the stoplights across Riverside. So people on the far north end and the far south end, you know, to literally get a fairly safe crossing, they have to come to the middle of the village, whereas if we could get to other crossings, we could get people across safely. And, you know, I live up this end, so henceforth I'm crossing more this end, and I watch families with their kids trying to get them across the roads. And so I would argue with the DOT that we need one at the north end. So I didn't mean to be long-winded about that.
Well, thank you. So, Craig, we are being asked to approve the contract, not the proposal. Or are we being asked to approve the proposal as well as the contract?
Well, the proposal actually defines the scope of work. So, yes, right. you're approving the proposal, which has a signature page, which will then become the contract, yes.
Okay.
But that's for this crossing only. That doesn't mean you can give us any rights fighting for the north crossing.
Well, and my recommendation is we proceed with this because we can get it started. Yeah. The other one is another issue. We'll address that one separately and go from there.
I will go along with that as long as we start that process right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
As part of the wording, we've got only one or two hybrid signal crossings will be permitted. So even in the wording we have here, we're one or two. So right. We can still continue on with this for the second one on the north side of the village.
Yep. Yeah, I want the board to know, if the board is in agreement, that we keep pushing for that and we don't wait.
I think we all want it.
Okay, cool. Okay, any other discussion? We have a motion to approve the contract for Maiden Hunt based on coming to an agreeable solution on the indemnity and liability. Correct? Trustee Harris.
Just one other question with regard to when Maiden Hunt puts together the proposal, I assume, so I don't want to assume, that there will be a timeline for the construction companies. So we'll know it will take them 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 weeks, whatever the amount of time it will take. So we'll be able to judge that as well. If it's going to take someone 6 months to do this, I think that should be taken into account as well.
It will be a publicly bid project. Or, and I'm going to say or because I know there was some discussion about there's already, I believe, a blanket agreement that the Department of Transportation has with construction firms to do signaling. So it'll either be under the blanket agreement that the DOT has or our own publicly bid project. There will be a timeline on it, yes. That'll be part of the plans and specifications.
Okay. Thank you.
Okie doke. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Let's go build some crossings. Mm-hmm. Item number 7B, Draft County Municipality Agreement for Joint Projects. Mr. Burnt, would you, we asked Craig to put together just a summary. The county wants to change how we do joint projects, and Craig, along with other directors of public works around the area, have been working with Brown County to push back on some of that and come to something that should be agreeable for us. And we asked Craig to put together things that are bullets that just highlight the difference in how we did things before. So, Craig, could you just fill us in on that? Just fill us in on basically the agreement how we're going to go forward.
This is, enclosed in the information is the draft agreement. The approach that the Public Works Directors took is that the agreement that was used between Brown County and municipalities from 2011 and prior was a good agreement. It was a 50-50 cost share. We wanted to try to preserve that 50-50 cost share of projects because we felt that was the fair approach for both parties. And so we redrafted the basic agreement to accomplish that and address some things that were of issue between the county and the municipalities over the years. And on the second page of this package of information, there's a list of some of the things that we did. We defined whom is responsible for the construction of the storm sewer and for maintenance of it. We defined that in the agreement. That's always been a question mark, as to who maintains the storm sewer system on the highway. And then we also defined that for stormwater treatment, how is the cost allocated for that and who's responsible for maintenance. And there's a formula in the agreement that addresses that. But basically, if the majority of the stormwater is the roadway, then the county would own that facility. If the majority of the stormwater facility is municipality, then the municipality would maintain it. In either case, both parties pay for the cost. They share in the cost. Maintenance has always been a question mark in the past. Who maintains the sidewalk? Who maintains the stormwater inlets? Who does the lawn mowing? We've defined that in here, what we think is fair for both parties. We're asking the county to share with us permits. When they get a permit on a roadway, we don't always know about it until construction starts. Well, it's our utilities that are under the roadbed, and we don't know about the project until we see a contractor on site. We want an agreement between the county and the municipalities so that we know about the utility projects and we can deal with that in the planning phase. So that's one of the items. And then sidewalk and bike lane construction costs are defined. Now, we worked out these things on Huffman Road to where we feel we had a quite fair agreement. This was to make this agreement more uniform and so that it applies to everybody the same way. Now, this, the next time that we have a project, it does not mean that this is cast in stone. We can adjust it as appropriate. This is the template, if you will. So we always can specifically negotiate details on a project. Where this is at is this, Brown County has this agreement. They've already come back to us with some comments. We have a meeting Thursday afternoon between the Public Works Directors, the Metro Public Works Directors, and Brown County Highway Department to go over their comments and our comments and see if we can't reach an agreement on the technical side of what these issues are. Then at that point, if we can reach an agreement on the technical side, and basically the Brown County Public Works Director is agreeing with what we have here. He seems to be in favor of agreeing to this. The questions they have are more on the overall approach. If we take the lead as a city or village, then they want some flexibility in negotiating the contract. And where that comes from is the cost goal. When that project came up, Bellevue had to proceed with the project very quickly. In that scenario, the county wants some flexibility where they may not share in all of the costs because it was unplanned. That's the major issue that's out there. And if they're functioning as the lead, they agree that it's a 50-50 cost share. That's really the point we have to negotiate. And we'll see where that takes us. So this is an ongoing process, and this is where we are at. And please take a look at it. You don't need to take any action on it at this point. But please take a look at it, and if there's questions or comments or thoughts, let me know. Because it's a working thing to try to come up with. Dealing with something that's sort of been an issue over the years and try to make it more standard for everybody. And I think we've gone a long ways for doing that, so it's very positive, and hopefully we can get it finalized in the next few weeks.
Thanks, Craig. Is there anything, in your opinion, where we have lost some benefit since our 2011 agreement?
And then I don't think so. No. I do not think so.
Okay, sir.
Any other questions for Craig? Trustee Harris? Craig, in general, all the Brown County municipalities agree with what's in here?
All of the Brown County Public Works Directors.
Okay, okay.
Not the village boards or county.
Pardon me, yes. It hasn't
come to that level.
Okay.
But yes, the communities, from a technical standpoint, we are all in agreement with this, yes.
Okay, that's...
We had three lengthy meetings on this.
Yeah, I should have rephrased. Public Works.
Any other questions for Craig? So, Craig, at the bottom of your memo, it says legal counsel for Green Bay, DePere, Pulaski, and Alloway have reviewed the agreement. They have recommended proceeding with discussion with Brown County using this agreement. You don't need a motion from us. You just need our good wishes. Do we give them our good wishes? Do you have our good wishes?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Item 7C, correspondence to GBMSD regarding 2017 budget. That would be Green Bay Metropolitan Sanitary District.
Craig, would you? Sewerage.
Pardon me?
Sewerage.
Well, we've had a couple budget meetings with Green Bay Metro. This letter, the reason that we offer comments is because it tends to keep the focus on cost and keep the focus on doing what needs to be done and maybe not doing things that don't need to be done or that we think are lower priority. There are several communities that submit comments. The reason I bring this forward as soon as I can is because they're still in the process of working through their budget. They have a budget workshop next Friday that we will be attending. And then in October, November, it goes to their commission for approval. So it does have a possible impact on rates. And really, the way I addressed it this time is I called it observations on your budget. And they include, in their priorities, they talk about a number of things they want to accomplish in 2017. Well, I think, and the other communities feel, number one priority is getting the discharge permit, and number two is serving your customers and keeping the rates reasonable. It's not internal communication building. It's not completing this project. It's not other things. It's meet your permit and serve your customers. Now, beyond that, they have brought the rate down from their initial 5.7% to 2.7%, which is the lowest rate increase we've seen now in 5 years because they had the major project. My comment is, if inflation is 2%, we ought to be at 2%. An observation. And then their capital projects, they have major capital projects and then they have annual projects in their budget. It seems to me like there's a lot of projects. And really what I'm asking here in this letter is, can you really complete the projects that you're proposing to do in 1 year? Spread them out over a couple years. That reduces the rate impact. And then their salary and benefits. Well, their pay system is a little different than most communities. They have an annual cost of living, but they also have pay grades that they adjust employees on. And it looks to me like that the cost of salary and benefits is a significant cost increase. So we're calling that all in saying, we understand it's important for you to retain your employees, but this is a big cost increase. It seems like it could be more reasonable. So those are the main points. And it's intended to keep them focused on those types of issues. What happens is that this will be in front of their commission. I will get a chance to talk about it to the commission. They will discuss it with staff. We'll see where it takes us. But the commission does pay attention to the correspondence that we provide. They do put it on the agenda. They do work through it. They do ask Tom Sigman answers to the questions. And they do give us, and there'll be probably three or four of us at that time, they do give us the opportunity to speak and talk about this and have dialogue with them on why we have these concerns and what we mean by it. So that's part of that process.
Is this, will you have a chance to speak at the meeting on Friday? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Is that a meeting that's open to the public?
Yes.
And what time is it?
I'll have to look it up, but I believe it's 9 a.m. on the 29th. I believe it's the 29th, next week.
Okay. So that could be a good meeting for any residents who are interested in attending?
Sure. Or board members. Or
and board members.
They have had, past discussions. They have had some fairly healthy wage increases as compared to what's kind of going on all around them. Do you know what the rate of increase is projected on their across-the-board type wage adjustment?
Well, it's 1.9%, but in addition to that, there are some
merit
adjustments in pay grades or grade levels of employees.
Craig, what I saw is from the 2015 actual to the 2017 budget is an 8.5% increase. There's also a 4% increase in headcount. They're going from 95 to 99 people, and I don't know if they've got a compensatory increase in workload to go up by adding 4 headcount.
That's why we asked the question about 2 permanent and 4 limited term employees. That's why we asked that question. Can you really justify adding, you know, that many staff? Part of the increase, that 8.5%, is a set aside for death. So what they will be doing in 2017 or 2018, I don't know when it will exactly fall, but they're planning on having between $10 and $11 million set aside, and that was in those rate increases set aside so that they don't have to borrow that $10 million on their project. They will pay that in cash.
That's what I was looking at, is solely the line of salaries.
Okay.
Salaries from 2015 actual to 2017 budget is 8.5%.
Yeah.
So I understand what you mean about
that's
that. That's a different, right.
That's why we're calling out the concern about labor, because they do have
an 8.5% increase over 2 years, I think many people would take. But I also, my understanding is that if you take a salary survey, above a median level. So I completely understand trying to keep up with the Joneses, but they don't necessarily need to be the Joneses.
That's right. No, you're correct. Okay. It's a significant cost increase. I do, by the way, have Mr. Segment scheduled for the October 4th board meeting to come here and give a presentation. So that will be right after the 29th meeting. That will be on the 4th, and then that's before they go before the commission with the final draft budget.
Great. Trustee Harris.
A couple more. If you could also just, I don't know if it's the appropriate time to highlight it, but your meeting on the 29th. If I look back at user fees, since 2013, we're up 26% just in our village. I don't know what the other, I didn't look at what others were, I just looked at what Alloy is. And then I brought this up to Tom Sigmund last year, and in terms of when they do have their final budget meeting or budget presentation, they tend to have it during daytime business hours. And I questioned why it couldn't be held in evening to have, in my opinion, it allows more residents the opportunity to attend. They may get more, they may get less, but just to try that. The response I got back was that the stakeholder meeting is not a requirement of state statute. They've just chosen to have a meeting, and they're required to have they run the public hearing in conjunction with a regularly scheduled monthly commission meeting because our commissioners will already be on site. So that maybe one other thing we can just ask them about is, what about doing one in the evening? Again, it may not change their attendance. It may help, it may not. But don't ask, don't get.
And if not, maybe we write a letter to the Press Gazette encouraging them to do so in public.
The 26% Again, that's that rate built in to accumulate some cash for debt, and that's the debt service level that we'll be at. That's the biggest.
We've known it's coming, and we each year have seen it. It's just when it was laid out in front of me, I think it's your attention.
The idea of an evening meeting or a separate meeting that the public could attend would be a good item to bring up when Mr. Sigmund is here at this meeting. That's a good one to bring up again. And I will bring it up as well.
Thank you.
I have a question, Mr. Craig.
Yes, sir.
Craig, are there any elected officials on the board? They're all appointed, is that not correct?
No.
By the county executive.
A couple of them are private citizens. One is from the Green Bay Water Utility, one is from the Northeast Wisconsin Technical College. One is a private business person, but there's no state officials on that model. Or no public officials.
And therein is part of the problem behind the accountability of this board. It has been an ongoing problem since came on this board, and before that, it is something that the previous Randy Gass, president before him, Steve Annenhoff, addressed, and we addressed in their meeting one morning, 8 a.m., and it has not changed. This will be the third year, it has not changed. And salaries continue to increase at unreasonable levels. And there is no elected official oversight, the significance of which is representative of the people who are paying the taxation to run the organization. So, in essence, that would become taxation without representation, with the exception of those who are appointed. That is a poor system operation. And I wish that we as a village would once again this year voice our displeasure over the structure of said same board.
Okay, thank you. One second, Clarence. Any other comments from the board? Okay, if there's no opposition, we'll suspend the rules. Hearing none. Come on up, Mr. Matuzic.
Here, local historian. At one point about at least 30 years ago, Pauline Borgick concerns have been expressed here, board, with the official being on the commission, and they established, I don't know about, by policy, by motion or what, that there would be a county board member on that commission, which existed at least until about, to the best of my, I thought it was still on there, but last one I think was it was back almost 20 years. So you might want to investigate what happened there, that the board changed the policy. Somebody can research that. At the time, I didn't think it was the greatest idea, but it turned out it was a good idea. I guess what I'm concerned with, the liaison board member initially was not very effective. After that, they appointed good people on there from the county board, so you might want to investigate that.
Thank you very much. Okay, any other comments from the... Oh, okay. Bob, you need to speak into the microphone, please.
No, yes.
Okay. Could you speak louder?
I was at the time speaking. I was trying not to raise my voice and be angry and or obnoxious in my comments, as my comments were quite inflammatory.
That's okay. I still want to hear what you have to say.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll pick up the rules. So you're looking for a motion to approve that letter. Do I have said motion? Trustee Green, what's your motion? To approve the letter?
Yes.
Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Discussion item number 8, open government. See if we can get Trevor's computer to work.
Or is it user error? Trevor?
I'm sorry.
Can't open the tab.
I would go down to that folder by the Internet Explorer.
Oh, okay.
It's all blurry.
It's all blurry? Okay, you want to shut down at least the lights above that, please?
Is that better?
I'm going to read some of the stuff, but I don't think it'll be able to be much better. You can dim these if you want. No sleeping.
Okay.
Okay. I'll read it. I'll read the highlighted areas. But as we know, from time to time, we've talked about open government and not doing government's business behind the cloak of email. And so from time to time we receive emails and we bring them to the public forum. Since last meeting, I've received, I think, 38 emails from one of our residents. And I brought some of them tonight because I'd like to ask some questions and have open debate on some of them. The one before us is from Mr. Jim O'Rourke, dated 9/7/2016, the day after our village board meeting. Dear Jim Rafter, it is my understanding that you intend to use village funds to hire an attorney to intimidate a volunteer in the village who reported unlawful behavior to you. Shame on you. Mr. Rourke, I'm assuming you are referring to the motion to have Attorney Duffy take a look at the accusations being made by you calling our village staff liars. Is that true? Mr. Rourke? Is it okay if I suspend the rules? Rules are suspended.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. This does go to repeated behavior by the village that they use attorneys to intimidate people. Goes back to the summer of 2014. Under the previously failed administration, when I was on the bike ped committee.
Mr. Rourke?
Yes?
I'm asking you about the specific question. I don't want to go back in history. I want to ask you. Sorry?
I was told that the village didn't have a line item for attorneys.
No, I'm sorry. We're not talking about that. I'm asking you a question. Are you referring to me or the board asking our attorney to review the claim that our staff lies and where you called them liars? Is that what you're referring to in this email?
Can you
show me?
I'm looking for exactly what you're referring to. Can you show me? Can you show me the?
There was a motion,
right,
made by this board,
correct,
to refer your email where you call people liars to our attorney for review. That's the question. So is that what you're saying is intimidating to you?
I am telling you, and I've brought it up before, that I've been threatened by Jim Rafter in an email. He threatened me professionally, and I've seen village staff threaten to crush its opposition because they have unlimited resources.
That's in another email.
That's
so
okay.
I'm just asking you about this one.
Jim,
give me a chance.
Jim, this is one of those. This should be in a committee meeting, and it shouldn't be at a board meeting. But if you want it at an open board meeting, I'm willing to stay here and hash this thing out.
Okay. So in other words, you don't want to answer my question.
Jim, what are you talking about?
Okay, I'll ask you very directly.
So let's talk about it. So you're asking me,
sir.
So let's talk about what you're specifically asking me about is what Lynn was referring to earlier today about the need for crossing Riverside Drive and having safe sidewalks. I told the village when I was co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee and removed by you guys, that the village needs safe crossings, safe sidewalks for the elderly and the handicapped. I pointed out that the village was violating the law by using the Plan District Development Committee process to circumvent the zoning code, and that sidewalks were being eliminated, and that zoning was being done behind closed doors. So these are the types of things. And then the village staff has said, no, it didn't happen. And the fact of the matter is, it did happen. So the fact of the matter is that things are going on behind closed doors. De facto zoning is being done, specifically on Riverside Drive and St. Joseph Street. The talk of a arboretum trail as part of the old chapel project was a complete farce. Everybody knew it. Craig knew from the very beginning that there was never any way to fit in an arboretum trail there. That's why he changed it. He knows that it would only fit a sidewalk. There's no room for trees. You have underground utilities there. There's no way that an arboretum trail would go there. And that I don't think it's in the village budget to start reworking the street.
And more
Jim,
than
you want to, Jim, no. you want to.
You're not giving me the answer to my question.
You want this thing to go off. This is your own personal tirade.
No,
and
sir.
You, and you've been doing this for weeks, and it has to stop.
No, sir. It doesn't.
So it needs to be referred to an outside attorney, not somebody that was on the executive committee that met with me and was fully aware of all the illegal activities.
Okay,
so this needs to be. This needs to go to an outside attorney, and not a member of the executive committee who I've identified before.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll pick up the rules. I didn't get an answer to my question. So I'm going to guess that. I'm not going to guess. We'll just go on.
Are we still suspended?
No, sir. We picked them up.
Can you suspend them again?
Sure. If that's okay with the board.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, fellow board members. Come on up, Claire.
Clarence, 26680 South Webster. I had not intended to speak tonight, but as the evening progressed, things came to mind. You recall the last time I commented about the number of closed sessions, and I did not make any accusations because they all appeared to be legal. It's just that I would hope that maybe you get into a report, so that's not an outright criticism. I'm disturbed personally, and on your behalf, 2 allegations made of alleged impropriety by this board. I may disagree with you at times, but I think you're making an effort. The surveys and opinions are trying. They mentioned apathy. I know all about apathy of residents, and that it does exist. See, that trying to reach them, and you're trying to do that. I've also said to you before, I mentioned that maybe you could give an interim report at the conclusion of a closed meeting, even if it says nothing, we didn't do anything. That's about it, not saying anything at all. I've said this before, and I certified my position. This current board, I've been around here 48 years, just about another month. Best board we've ever had. And I think it's all of you. Plus a couple of past ones recently, too, but you do a very good job. To be accused of playing politics, compared to the old days, I have not yet seen anything political by this board, you know, with a political agenda. And I think I have an knowledge and intelligence left in this little body that it's a valid assumption. And finally, I'm telling you, I don't always agree with you, but I know you screw up badly. I'm in the corner, and I'll continue to defend you.
Thank you, Mr. Matsuzzi. So my comment on this email is...
I'm sorry, I forgot one thing.
Sure.
I hate to put it on a personal basis, but I guess my suggestion to Mr. Rourke is he has his strong feelings, then run for the board and let the citizens decide.
Thank you very much. We'll pick up the rules.
It was not our intent, it was not my intent, and I'm sure not that of the board, to hire an attorney to intimidate a volunteer, but rather to protect the excellent reputations of our hardworking staff. That's my official response. Second email, 9-8. Open records request board meeting missing Jim Rafter vote in Tyree Ducks. Please send me or post to the village website the documents that new president Jim Rafter improperly and inaccurately read into the public record at the village board meeting on Tuesday, September 6th. It is my understanding that Mr. Rafter requested and received permission to spend village funds without limit to discover if village staff has been making misrepresentations to board members, village committees, or the general public. Regarding the first paragraph, please send me or post to the village website the documents that Jim Rafter improperly and inaccurately read into public record. We offered those documents to you. Did you get those, Mr. Orr? I won't ask you. That's okay. You can sit down.
You've asked the question.
Okay. We'll suspend the rules. Okay. Did you get those documents?
No. As what's going on right now, Jim Rafter grabbed some of my emails, inserted snarky comments at the top, which generated comments and ridicule from the general public. I caught an eye of them, and the village staff refused to send it to me.
That was on Tuesday, September 6th.
It was the file was refused to be sent to me. I requested it, and the file was refused to be sent to me.
And if you want to continue, you are referring to the meeting on September 6th, correct? Correct, because that's what you say in your email. There were no documents that had snarky comments at the top, and I read what you wrote. So, I'm sorry if you... I'm not sorry. If me reading what you wrote is offensive to you, I can't help that. It is my understanding that Mr. Rafter requested and received permission to spend village funds without limit to discover if village staff has been making misrepresentations to board members, village committees, or the general public. That is completely false. We approved having our lawyer look into allegations, actually having him look into if there's legal recourse from the village by someone calling our staff liars. It's not to look into our staff. It's to consider what legal recourse we have.
Whether they lied or not doesn't matter. If you have...
Jim Gendrich took offense at the fact of the term baby lies. Okay? A baby lie is a half-truth. Okay? A truth is like a dollar bill. Okay? And if you took a dollar bill and ripped it in half, that's not a dollar bill. Just like the truth. If you take the truth and you rip it in half and you only give a half truth, that's not the truth anymore. It's a lie. It's a baby lie. It's filtering. It's what's been going on here in the closed sessions. It's the reason why the Mayflower deal is in jeopardy right now, because of baby lies. For example, I requested to see the protocol for selling property in the Village of Real Estate by the Village Board. It's pretty simple. Either you do it in public or you do it behind closed doors. If you do it behind closed doors, you're supposed to have an appraisal. That's what the League of Municipalities says. That's not what the village does. The village has ripped the truth in half and said, we only want to do the closed door thing. We don't want to have appraisals in the
right,
file.
That telephone here somewhere?
So if the village doesn't want to follow the League of Municipalities, they should not say that that's what they're doing. That's when Debbie has been filtering when she sent back me the reply that said that the village is following the League of Municipalities for how they're selling the real estate, it didn't make sense. I said, that's not right. You have to have an appraisal. You can't sell, for example, a Mayflower property. If the assessor thinks that it's worth $400,000 and you sell it for $200,000, the problem is that once you close, somebody finds out exactly how much they paid for it. They can then sue to have that reversed. Nobody from the village has told Mayflower that they're in jeopardy of having their deal reversed. But if you read the League of Municipalities, which Debbie didn't send you the whole damn statement, it's fact number one. The most common question to the League of Municipalities is how to sell real estate and what happens. Debbie told you, yeah, you're allowed to have closed meetings. She forgot to tell you that if you don't have an appraisal in the file and somebody complains, they have a right to file a lawsuit and have that transaction reversed. That would put Mayflower in a very bad position if they've already spent $30,000 on design fees and then have the transaction reversed because this board didn't bother to have an appraisal. If the village board is going to follow what they say is the League of Municipalities, they should follow the guidance of the League of Municipalities, not some crazy code that they came up with on their own, not some half-truth, not some baby lie, and you really have to follow the rules, otherwise people get hurt. And innocent people get hurt. The Mayflower deal is a fiasco. You should have done it in public. You should have gotten an appraisal. And if you're going to give them a $200,000 discount, you can tell everybody you gave them a $200,000 discount. You can't say you got a great deal for the city because you flipped the real estate foreclosure. Thanks.
Mr. O'Hart, could you tell me if the following statement is a baby lie or an outright lie? Or just twisting of facts? Debbie told us we can negotiate property deals in closed session. You just said that. Is that a baby lie? Is that a twisted truth? Or is that an assumption on your part?
Is that the complete truth or the half-truth? Debbie, is that the complete truth or the half-truth? And did you get that from the executive
Debbie
committee?
Never told us that. Debbie
sent it to me. Debbie sent it to me, along with snarky comments.
Yeah. Okay, so is that a baby lie, or is that an outright lie, or is that a twisted truth?
Has anybody told you that they follow the League of Municipalities in selling the real estate?
No.
Who told you that you can sell real estate in closed deals?
No one.
Behind closed doors?
No one.
Then why do you do it?
We're not selling any property behind closed doors.
I
know who. The state of Wisconsin. An open meetings.
Now, why are you flipping on me? So
I'm not.
I'm telling you, because I saw, this is what I saw. This is what I saw, and it's in the record. When the Mayflower deal came down, and after you left your closed meeting, there was a public discussion, an uproar occurred, and the previous village president said, I remember signing a deal, which was ludicrous because no deal had been made, but upon discovery of open records, yes, deals had been made, and that the open meeting was a complete sham. A deal had been made, and the public meeting was a sham. A deal had been made in closed session to sell the property, and that they were just required to bring it into open session so that it couldn't be challenged. It was a sham. It happened. It's on the record. There's a recording of it. And to borrow Debbie's phrase that she said to me, it's there for your listening pleasure.
And she was right.
Yeah. Thank you. It's there. You listen to the president say, he remembered signing the deal. What are we talking about? That's the nuttiest thing I ever heard.
Thank you. So we're not getting very far on my questions, but that's okay. So Mr. O'Rourke also sent a constructive email letting us know that there was a fur trader marker placement going on Friday in Alloway for Jacques Vu, I'm assuming that name is. So thank you for letting us know that. That has already passed. And then Mr. O'Rourke sent an email to the entire village board and staff, not the entire staff, but recommending that we name the Webster Bridge Daniel Webster Bridge and Daniel Webster Bridge and Henry Clay Bridge. Another constructive email. Thank you. Open records request, agenda item number 8. Open government. I request that I be allowed to view all documents sent to or prepared by Jim Rafter, the new president, between August 1st, 2016, and today, September 15th, relating to open government and open records. I would like to view the documents on Monday, September 19th, 2016, in the afternoon if possible. I do not need to see the documents that I sent. I specifically request to all documents sent by Mr. Dennis Duffy to Jim Rafter regarding items relating to open government, open meetings, and open records. It's a shame that Mr. Rafter has gone on a month-long tirade. Two comments or one answer, and we have given you the answer, but the answer to that question is there are no documents between Mr. Duffy and myself regarding anything relating to open government, open meetings, or open records. And as I'm sure we'll probably see in a few emails, you don't believe me. However, that's true. I'm not opening the floor. Have a seat. I'm not opening the floor.
But you told me...
I'm not opening the floor, sir. I request that I be allowed to view all documents sent to or prepared by Jim Rafter, and I want to see them, on Monday, September 19th in the afternoon. Open records laws in the state of Wisconsin do not require the village to meet the time frame of a requester. However, time in and time out, this village staff and board members have gone out of their way to drop what they're doing to answer one of however many open records requests we've received by Mr. O'Rourke today. So we don't have to do that. An acceptable time frame is 2 weeks, and you can see that in the open meetings laws, or the public meetings laws, open records laws. But our staff works extremely hard to answer these questions, and so I take offense at that. Demand for retraction. Dated 9/20 this morning. Demand for retraction. This is a repeat formal demand for retraction of the malicious and wrongful verbal and written attacks on me at public meetings in the village of Alloy by new president Jim Rafter. I am reading your emails and responding to them, sir. Further down, on Monday, September 19th at 3:30, the new village president, through his staff, refused to allow a resident to review the Jim Rafter defamation documents that the village board authorized to be produced, and that is also likely to be discussed and voted on by the village board at the village board meeting September 20th, 2016. Shame on Jim Rafter. I went back and I listened to the last meeting, and I was hoping that we didn't say, Mr. Duffy, go create some defamation documents. And we didn't. So I don't know what documents you're referring to. I am guessing it's the email before saying emails between Mr. Duffy and myself, and there have been no emails between Mr. Duffy and myself regarding anything of defamation. And then I thought, well, maybe, no, I didn't. Okay, next one, denial of open records request. Oh, on Monday, September 19th at 2016 at 3:30. That's when Mr. O'Rourke wanted to see the documents between Attorney Duffy and myself. But there are none to be seen. And I think we'd get in trouble if we created some, just for this purpose. Staff unlawfully filtering. I believe that Jim Rafter, through his staff, has denied public access to Jim Rafter, Dennis Duffy, Esquire, defamation documents that are scheduled to be voted on tonight by elected officials at the village board meeting. Something odd is going on in Alloy. Shame on you, Jim Rafter, new president. We are not voting on anything regarding defamation this evening. I don't know why Mr. O'Rourke believes that to be true, but we're not. So, once again, that's a half-truth or misrepresentation of reality. Next paragraph, I believe that Jim Rafter, through his staff, also filtered, so I'm being accused of, I'm guessing, illegal activity, has also filtered open records requests and replies. The village board has become confused. I don't think so. I believe that Jim Rafter has sent coded messages to the village clerk not to comply with certain open records requests unless unusual steps are taken by the requester. I believe that Jim Rafter has interfered in lawful requests of a village resident. I do not know how to respond to that, except to say I have not sent any coded messages to anyone. I would open the floor to ask Mr. O'Rourke what he meant by that, but I don't think he'd address that, so I'm not going to. Shame. Shame on... No, please have a seat.
I'm willing to answer.
No, I'm not willing to ask. Shame on Jim Rafter, new president, for interfering with open records process in his bizarre and relentless anti-open government public tirade. As I've said before, talking about things in a public forum is not anti-open government. It's anything but. I'm reading out loud statements calling me a liar and corrupt, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay reading those things. One second, please. So I'll tell you what. Because it is open government, and if there's no problem with the board, I will suspend rules and ask Mr. O'Rourke to answer this question. This question. Why do you believe that I am sending coded messages to the village clerk? Let's see if we answer that question.
Yeah, I can hear the eyes rolling right now. A coded message is something from a person who has no right to send a message with a copy to Debbie. That's the code. Jim Rafter said he wanted me to go ahead and perform some acts in order to have Debbie comply with the open records request.
Well,
simple ask.
What did I ask you to do?
You can look at them. They're in the public record. Debbie has them. But you said, I was instructed to give all open records requests to Debbie, which implies that only Debbie can deny them, not Jim Rafter. When I start getting denials of open records requests from Jim Rafter with copies to Debbie, that's clearly telling Debbie not to honor them. That's my answer.
My response to that is the only time I can think that may have happened was when you asked for copies of documents that were your emails, and I said to Debbie, if Mr. O'Rourke would like to spend the money on reading his own emails, he is more than welcome to. That is not a rejection. Judy, come on up.
Judy Poe, 2375 Riverside Drive. I don't know whether to compare the last half hour to listening to two of my grandsons duke it out verbally or the wonderful political debates that we've been hearing lately. But I think we all get the point that you two gentlemen, whom I respect both of you, I like both of you, I like everybody in this room, do not see eye to eye. And I think that it would be good, Jim, if you would write out your message and not send it, and do what I had to do when I was in business. And that was, instead of taking off on somebody, type it out. At that time you used a typewriter. Leave it in the typewriter overnight and take a look at it the next morning, and then go back and change wording. to say lies, to say maybe lies. This is obviously going to get somebody very angry. And they have a right to respond, I suppose, in anger. On the other hand, to read these things and to become very angry about it, maybe give the person who sent it the benefit of a doubt and say, would you care to rephrase anything in here, if nothing else, just to keep the peace. But I really don't like to see the two of you going at it like this. I really don't. Because you're both good people. This is a good board. And nothing is ever achieved in anger. Those are my comments. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you very much.
Which Jim was she referring to? Because they're both Jim.
Which Jim am I referring to?
Yeah, because you said Jim, and you didn't say you were talking to him or him.
Well, I think they could both listen and tell.
Sorry about interrupting.
That's okay. Thank you. And thank you for your comments. I don't go through this because I'm worried about myself. I do it because the last time I used a number, we had received 1,000 emails, very few of which had any positive content. And it's disruptive to the staff. It hurts morale. I've discussed that with Mr. O'Rourke. And we have people before me. When I first joined the board 2 years and a little over 2 years ago, I sat down with Mr. O'Rourke to try and figure out how can I help. And it didn't seem to help. And the emails keep coming. And so I don't think village employees should be sitting ducks. I don't think they should be able to be ridiculed, unrightfully so, unjustifiably so. And I'm going to protect them. So that's why I read these. Because very seldom do village residents see what goes in on day in and day out in the village. And this is just when we're trying to get absentee voter ballots out, when we're trying to serve the public, and when we respond, when we have to respond to over 1,000 emails. I'd like to see a different way too, Judy. I really would. And I invite Mr. O'Rourke to sit down and help identify a way to do that.
But your voice gets tighter and tighter and tighter.
Well, sure it does.
And tighter.
Sure.
So you're both upset.
Take a deep breath, right? Thank you. And thank you for that observation. I sincerely thank you for that. I think this is the last email I'm going to talk about. And this is my cover-up. I believe you might be keeping the clerk in the dark with regards to your defamation documents, Mr. O'Rourke. There are none. I believe that you have a legal obligation to turn over the defamation documents, Mr. O'Rourke. There are none. And that's it. Any comment from the board?
Well, it seems to me that we have far exceeded any harassment limits here, and with 1,000 emails and all the rest, I don't know what our legal rights are, but if there's a move to censure one of our residents because it's just become a total pain and with no positive gains at all, we need to go down that path. This is just a total waste of time and energy by a lot of good people, and I see no positive coming out of continuing with this and trying to respond to these requests that are just never ending. So I need us to look into how we can put an end to this.
Thank you. Anyone else on board?
Well, I would personally echo what Jim just said. You know, my concern with the emails is they are public record. And when things like contentious and baby lies and lying and filtering and twisting of words and putting them in places that are put out there to the general public that have the ability to read these emails without sitting at these meetings or taking the time to read the, or listen to the recordings sheds a real negative light on a board that I would say holds itself to a high standards of integrity. And attacking like that is unnecessary. That's my only comment.
Any other comments from the board?
Yes.
A couple things. One of them, right here, according to Title 18, Chapter 17 of the U.S. Code, which states out crimes related to coins and currency, anyone who alters, defaces, mutilates, impairs, diminishes, falsifies, steals, or lightens coins and or face values of paper money are subject to prison time. Same goes for defacing that and decreasing the proportion of the value of savings. That's my first thing. The second thing is, you know, when I was a young man, we grew up in a rural area, and every Thursday we'd go into town to get feed. And there was also a sawmill. And they would sweep out the sawmill, and the farmers would come and get their sawdust to use for bedding for the animals, which is what we used for. It was a good use for the excess that they had no use for, and it was a valuable commodity. However, from time to time, there would be wood that was brought through the mill that was infected, in which case they would put a sign out for the farmers so that the farmers would realize that it was not good wood. They would put out a sign that had one word on it next to the pile of sawdust, and that would say bugs. And in this case, there are bugs in the sawdust. And I'm tired of it. All the time we've wasted here so far, all the time that we have spent going back in our time of just over 2 years, 2.5 years, multiplied out times our previous presidents and previous administrations, it's time for this to end. It is time for this. I would agree with Jim and whatever other comments we have. It is ridiculous that we have wasted this amount of time in our own lives, with our government, in the people's lives. It's like a soap opera. Coded messages? I mean, really? Next, there's going to be conspiracies. I mean, this is just ridiculous, and it's unacceptable. It's not what civic operation is about. Our responsibility is to make sure the village runs and not to have to put up with a bunch of silliness. Enough.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, folks. Now, I would like to once again thank Judy for her comments and Clarence for his comments. Point well taken, and I would love to find another way, and if there's no opposition, we'll suspend the rules and allow Mr. Rourke to address us.
The correct way to put an end to this is to ask the Attorney General to take a look at the way that the village of Alloway sells its real estate. Take a look at the way that the village of Alloway awards contracts. Take a look at the way that the village of Alloway, the State Department of Transportation, and the State Historic Preservation Office prepare Section 106 studies for federally funded state highway properties. Today you approved spending $100,000 to locate a sidewalk that was possibly moved because of a fraudulent Section 106 study. You guys didn't know it. You should have known it, because I've been telling you for 3 years that that Section 106 study was fraudulent. But that sidewalk was moved. It should be in a different location, in a more central location. If you're going to spend $100,000 on a hawk signal, it should be in a central location. But certain locations were off limits because of a fraudulent, and I'm repeating fraudulent, Section 106 study that was signed by the Department of Transportation and the State Historic Preservation Office. I can't say it any more clearly. It was a fraudulent study.
Thank you, Mr.
It cost us $100,000 in this one project that we're looking at to possibly keep off limits protected properties that shouldn't be protected. A house that was built in 1987 by the stretch of the imagination is no way historic. Final siding, but it was protected. So the sidewalk was moved. I was in the meeting. I know. There's color-coded maps.
Thank you,
you
Mr.
Can't
Robert.
Believe that there's codes.
We're straying off.
We're done. We're done.
That's
Thank
what
you.
This is about.
Thank you.
So that's what this is about.
Thank
so
you.
I've asked for...
Thank you for your opinion, sir.
I've asked for the State
Jason,
Department of Justice...
What's up? They told you.
Thank you. Can we turn the lights back on? And I lost the agenda. That's what you get when you let me do these things. Okay, we're done. Okay. Next item on the agenda. We'll wait until Trustee Dart returns. We're waiting just for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Action regarding whether or not to list the pump house on Green Avenue. It came to our attention a while ago that we had received an offer, or before that, questions were being made how much we were asking for the pump house on Green, if we were going to sell it. And 8 years ago, the village board actually made the decision to sell the property, but it was never listed. And it was never priced. And in the not too recent past, our village assessor said, you know, if you can get 20 grand for it, give it away. And so a legitimate question came forth saying, how much do you want for it? Very legitimate question. I'd like to buy it. It wasn't officially for sale because it's never been listed. But that surely wouldn't stop the board, I don't think, from selling it. So I asked Brad to put this on the agenda so that this board can decide, A, do we want to sell it? If so, how do we go about doing so? I know the village board at one time, before it was on the board, I was sitting in the seats and I heard Trustee Green and Trustee Dart talk about wanting to put a coffee shop, Kavarna East, in that building. I thought that was a cool idea. So the question before us tonight, well, there's several, but one is, do we want to list the property or not? And if so, back in 2015, the Planning Commission recommended if we do that, or if we did put it up for sale, to keep it zoned as government, because we didn't know what would come in, and to go through a PDD process when a buyer came forth. So that's their recommendation. We're not mandated to do that, but that was the recommendation of the Planning Commission in 2015. And since then, the property's been added to the National Historic Registry, or National Registry of Historic Places. So that adds another thing. This board is not required, I don't believe, because nothing had been done for 8 years, I don't think we're required to follow their direction, but I think it's an opportunity for us to get it right. And so that's what we're here to discuss. First thing is, do we want to sell it? Do I have a motion on that? Or do we want to discuss before we go into motion?
Can we do that? Discuss before we...
We can. Trustee Dart, would you like to say something?
Well, I would just like to say I was with the Plan Commission. We went and viewed that site, and it is inside pretty rough condition, and it looks used on the outside. But, boy, it has its limitations. And the zoning, of course, is like you said, it's government, and you would have to know what someone wanted to use it for and zone it accordingly, if we could do that. But I'm just a little bit confused because there is some information here from... We're not looking at this?
Nope.
Okay, that's completely separate. Well, it's kind of hard to keep separate. There's all these zoning issues going on.
What I can say is that since the agenda came out, the village received an offer to purchase that property. So before we respond to that, this was on the docket. Do we want to sell it? And how do we want to go about selling it so we do it the right way? Mr. O'Rourke, I'm with you. We have to do it the right way. So, and this was before, you know, an offer came in from anyone. So that's why we're having this discussion.
Okay, and just with that blanket word, I certainly would like to see some good use put to that building instead of it sitting there and decaying.
Okay, thank you. Trustee Green.
I'd also like to see us go back to the original one of notifying the adjacent property owners that it is for sale. And I think getting some interesting uses to that that preserve its historic nature would be a huge benefit to the community.
Okay, thank you. So the back in 2008, the village board recommended that we notify people within 300 feet of that structure that we were planning to sell it. And we don't know if that ever took place. Any other comments on whether or not to list it?
So the most recent input by the Planning Commission was February of 15, so a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
With original motions back in 08.
I'm surely not opposed at all to selling it. I don't think an argument that we turn a non-tax generating property into a tax generating property has a whole lot, because if we sell it for $20,000, we make about $150 a year. But the goal, obviously, would be to sell it, have someone get that property, fix it up, and make it into something special. That would be my hope.
And it really could. I mean, when you go back in through, for those of you who haven't visited it, it's got an awesome front building with some very good character to it. Mm-hmm. And then the tank in the back is absolutely huge. I mean, it would have to be modified to be able to have people back in there. But there's been some pretty interesting projects in other communities utilizing these structures, and it would just, and I think it would be very neat historically to preserve it and get it back in use, not as a water building, but it would be interesting to see where people's creativity could go with that.
Have you actually looked in the tank? I mean, how can you? Because I know you've mentioned that before, and when we were there, I saw no way to access that except for like on the top and down.
Yeah.
Village pool.
Yeah, but the building's adjacent to it,
mm-hmm.
and evidently with some places they've been able to bore into the side or put doors in the side, skylights and top. There were some very interesting ideas about it around. So, and the thing is, it's surrounded all by dirt, it's banked up, and I don't know what it would be like heating and cooling wise, but it just, it's amazing where architects' brains can take them.
It certainly would be an asset to have it utilized in a good manner and cleaned up, and it just, the property does have its limitations. So
there was one resident talking about even turning it into a house, being able to modify it so it could be a housing structure. So
I think it'd be a good idea to sell it.
How do you feel about that?
Developers and every interested party, is it's up to them. You know, we'll list it, we'll sell it, and move on. I've been driving by that place since 93. There's been nothing going on there. I'd love to see some activity.
Mm-hmm. How limiting or beneficial is the historic designation to it? Is that the property or the building itself, or some of each? Anybody know?
I believe it's a building.
Okay. So that would limit what potential uses.
The exterior could not be changed. Mm-hmm.
If it were to maintain its designation.
Steve Harris. That was part one. Part two is, because of how it's zoned and if we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission, would a potential sale also have to present the proposed use for the property?
Yes, because you wouldn't know how to zone it.
Is that the process that would have to be followed? So along with an offer, we would have to have however the property would then be modified so that we could potentially adjust the zoning. That would be the process?
I don't think it would have to be a PDD, wouldn't it? And the zoning would have to be modified through that. Jim, am I right? Genrich?
That's, I think, what was the intent of the Planning Commission when they did that.
Yeah.
Because the neighbor is you have multiple housing on one side, and then...
there's business across the street.
Right.
Next this is government.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't continue as municipal, which it is not.
Correct.
Right.
So we have to change
it. But in order to sell it, if we didn't know the use, it would still be zoned government. Do we sell government property under the zoning of government to a non-government entity?
Personally, I wouldn't think so.
There might be formula for that through the state of Wisconsin with its recent sale of lands and or properties to the public, which we define guidelines that would give us an idea of approximate progression.
Well, hearing the sentiment of the board,
and I do have one other thing, Mr. President, and that please. Is that if and when this were to be put on the market, that we should identify the fact that there are numerous issues involved with the. The project itself, mm-hmm. that there should be truth and disclosure that something would have to be done with the tank, something would have to be done with the possibility of any lead paint inside, and any other problems that might be lurking there. So a review of the site itself probably would be in order.
Okay. Thank you. It sounds like it may be the sentiment of the board to sell it, but we have a lot of questions. So in some of the questions I have written down, what do we want to ask for? So is it the $20,000? What do we want to ask for? So we have to figure out an asking price. We have to know the impact of its historic designation. And do we want to that to continue? We spent $3,400 to have it be designated on the registry. So how do we want to treat that? I think we should address that. Do we want to require maintenance of the historic designation by the future property owner? Do we want to rezone or do we want to do a PD? Which one is more appropriate? Mm-hmm. So with those questions, I would make a motion to list the property, but to send back to staff to approve listing the property. But before we do that, send it back to staff for recommendations of asking price, impact on historic property, do we want to require maintenance of the historic designation, do we want to rezone it, or do we want to do a PDD, and lastly, do we want to list it with realtor, or do we want to do it in-house?
With notification of the residents within 300 feet?
With notification of the residents within 300 feet. And we can do that. We can do that in conjunction, mm-hmm. in parallel, with sending stuff back to staff.
And identification of any possible hazards, i.e., e.g., lead paint.
Okay. I'm good with that.
I'm good with that as well, but I would also like to see a quick turnaround time on it. Let's not sit through winter and spring and summer. Yeah, let's get this turned around in 2 weeks.
Are we good on that, Charlie?
I think so.
Can you work magic?
Yeah.
Good. He's a year older and wiser now, so he can do that.
Yesterday would have been harder.
Puts that hat on, you can get anything done.
Anything else, Trustee Harris?
Would listing the property, if we go down that path, under the description of as is, does that get us away from lead paint and other issues, or are we, do you think we are still... is that still something we need to concern ourselves with?
Yes, I understand it from my research, and I could be wrong, but that's what we'll let staff tell us. As is, says, we know things may be wrong with it. We're not going to pay to fix it. However, the buyer has the right to inspect the property and to decide the amount of work needed and to either say, yeah, I'm good to go, or I'm not going to go forward with the project. That's my understanding.
Well, we can investigate that part of it as well.
Yep. Well, yeah, we want full disclosure. And I made the motion. I don't even know if we made a motion, if we need a motion to sell, or if we should just push it back to staff and say, get these answers, bring it back to us in 2 weeks. And at that point in time, we'll make a decision not only to sell or not to sell, but how to go about doing it. Are we good with that? Any other?
Was there a second?
We're
thank you.
But I think we're withdrawing the motion. We're just directing
to
staff.
List.
Yeah, we're withdrawing
the motion.
Motion
just to direct staff.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay. Is there any opposition to me suspending the rules and letting Mr. O'Rourke come up? I'm suspending the rules. Come on up, Mr. O'Rourke.
I've shown the property to 5 people over the last 2 years. I've had 5 interested parties in that. I would suggest that the village pay to have an appraisal done. That's what the legal municipalities suggest. That's if you're going to do it in closed doors, but now that it's open to the public, you can go ahead and list it with the realtor.
You have to put that in there.
Uh-huh.
You just can't let it go.
That's okay.
Just let it go. Just
that's,
make
that's okay.
Let's
okay.
Do it.
Just
Poe.
Take a deep breath.
That's okay. I got it. So I would suggest either you have an appraisal done or put it on the open market and let everybody see the price on it and move forward. But it should, something needs to be done sooner rather than later. And with regards to historic restrictions on it, the village has every right to put any caveats on the deed, any restrictions on the deed. So if they want to see something very specific, they can go ahead and do that. That might reduce the value of the property to somebody in the future. But you can put any restrictions on the deed. That's legal under the Fair Housing Act. But you can put restrictions on the deed that certain things have to be preserved. So you can do that. And then with regards to historic preservation, there's a certificate of appropriateness that any renovations to the outside do need to come before the historic committee and be approved before they're going ahead and done. So there are restrictions based upon the designation and the village ordinance. As a certified local government, they have authority to give guidelines on, put restriction on what can be done to the outside of the building. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion to send it back to staff and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 10, update on the Mayflower Greenhouse project. We received word from the Mayflower company that they are not going to go forward with the project, and so they are releasing themselves of any interest in the property. They are going to send us a document to that effect, I understand. It's unfortunate, but things happen. And I wish Mr. Bino and Mayflower the best of luck, and I hope at some point in time, I know a lot of people were excited about them coming into town, myself included. And so, unfortunately, they will not be going into Riverside Drive. Did you want to add anything, Trevor? Is that, that's
yeah.
It? Okay. Item number 11, discussion on county tax collection agreement. That's the right page. The
Brown County sent something out to the municipalities regarding property taxes, and they wanted to change, and please correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, but they wanted to change the way it's paid for, that service. So Brown County prints out and mails out all of the tax bills every year and provides services along that. And as do we as a municipality. And something new to their request or their proposal would be to charge us a dollar per tax bill and 80, and then charge us for mailing, what we pay for mailing today, if I'm correct. And they were going to give us our money biweekly as they collected it instead of weekly, which would not give us as much money as soon. It's my understanding that a lot of people push back, including ourselves, I believe, and they came back with a second proposal, one being where they charge us 85 cents per bill and plus mailing costs and give us the money weekly. So if I am correct, that proposal would increase our costs associated with property tax bills by $4,672. In the proposal from the county, we're also given an option to opt out of the first payment, and that means we would be responsible for, well, Brown County will prepare the tax bills by entering tax rates, providing forms, printing, folding, sealing, pre-sorting, and delivering the bills to United States Postal Service. Municipality is responsible for the collection of said payments and answering all customer service calls and lots of other things. It's on the agenda tonight. Nothing's actually taking place yet. We have to reply to them to Brown County by October 31st. And our clerk asked other municipalities what they were planning on doing. And at tonight's Green Bay meeting, they are considering a referendum?
Resolution.
Pushing back in its entirety, and because municipalities incur a lot of costs associated with it already. We calculate the bills, basically, right? And so they're pushing back on it. Some municipalities said we're going to go with it because we don't have staff to do it. And and it's still early, I guess, in the process, so the Brown County may have a change of heart that we heard. Maybe they're having a change of heart as well. So there's nothing we have to do, but we're going to have to do something before October 31st. We're going to have to decide whether or not we want to do it. And I'll just read to you what Green Bay is going to vote on tonight. It says, whereas September 7th, Brown County Administrative Committee approved a proposal by Brown County Treasurer to charge each municipality 85 cents for tax bills printed for each municipality. And City of Green Bay believes that the cost of 85 cents per printed tax bill is counterproductive to the cooperation needed to collect property taxes on behalf of the city and all taxing entities. The city assesses and values all property and electronically transfers those values to the county at no expense, which values are the basis for calculating the Brown County tax bill. The city finance department assists the county with additional responsibilities related to the tax roll, including validating that all information turned over to the county is accurate, calculating the assessed mill rate for all tax entities, completing the statement of assessment and assessment of taxes, amongst other administrative duties at their sole expense. The city's time and resources in assisting Brown County in tax collection is a benefit that exceeds 85 cents charge. Brown County benefits from tax collections beyond the city and other taxing authorities benefit. The Brown County is authorized to keep any penalties
collected on special assessments. I don't know that we have to go through going through a resolution, but basically the county is asking us for more money to process the tax bills. I personally would like to push back.
Car shifting their expenses onto the municipalities.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That doesn't. Why would we want to agree to that?
I don't know.
Well, that is.
I don't know if it's been presented back to the county, but if we've got 103,000 different tax bills that are going out, and they've switched from a dollar down to 85 cents, so let's say it's roughly $86,000, I would assume or hope that the amount being requested by that department for 2017, well, it would actually be 2018, would be reduced by $86,000. If they're getting that revenue from the municipalities, it should not be part of the Brown County budget for that department. I don't know if that question has been asked. The other part is, I keep on seeing all sorts of references to first installment. Would there be any changes to second installment? That would remain as is. Mm-hmm. Okay, just wanted to clarify that, please.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Trustee Green?
Well, and I thought I saw in the email string where the county exec didn't agree with the fees, so he was going back to his budget trying to find some money for that. Did anything ever happen with that, or where's that settled out? Debbie's smiling at all.
I think we just heard that today. So that's what
yeah.
I meant.
So we aren't able to confirm.
Okay, because all I saw was the email string, so we still have that hanging out there.
Yeah, there's another thing, and that's why we don't have to do enough. Did you want to say something, Trustee?
I must have been very important.
Okay. I think Trustee Genrich's right. The county board doesn't want to raise taxes, and I applaud them for that. But keeping your budget flat and shifting costs to the municipality is increasing your budget. It's increasing taxes, just not at the Brown County level. It's increasing it basically at the municipality level. Mm-hmm. And there are other ways, like cutting costs, real costs, not just shifting costs. So it's something to keep in mind. We'll probably talk about the next village board meeting, probably have an action item on it for the next village board meeting. So you can do your research and be prepared. Any other comments, questions? Thank you. I've lost my agenda. Thank you. Item number 12, report on room tax commission and addressing short-term housing. Trustee Harris.
Yes, as part of the hotel room tax commission, they've been a bit in the news in terms of Alloway or Ashwaubenon and Green Bay coordination. More commonly known as Airbnb, that company, and residents renting out their house for a weekend, for a week, for a night, and the hotels, they're not paying any sort of room tax. The hotels have concerns about that. Other municipalities, counties have concerns about that. So what the room tax has come to commission has asked each municipality to do by September 30th is send them a letter back saying, what are you doing to address this? As part of the room tax commission. Worked with Brad to just respond saying we're reviewing our ordinance and we plan on adding a definition of short-term housing to our ordinance. Took us a while to find the ordinance. It's actually, definition of a hotel is actually listed under taxes. That's where you find the definition of a hotel in Alloy. At this moment, what Brad and I had talked about is just looking through our ordinances on the definition of a hotel, motel, and adding in the ability to define short-term housing. There, what we've learned is that there's anywhere between 40 and 50 different companies that offer an Airbnb-type service. So in terms of trying to track these things, you can be looking everywhere and anywhere. You can look on Monday, and there are three of them. You can look on Tuesday, and there could be 30 of them. It fluctuates daily. And from my personal perspective, we as Alloway are not going to have a large issue with this. I would say Wisconsin-LSU football game, we probably had some houses that rented themselves out for a weekend. Guessing the Dallas Cowboys game, we'll probably have that happen. But for the most part, we're not going to be seeing that in Alloway. City of Ishwaubenon did an overlay of just a certain part of the city where they allow this, and they still have to come up with all the rules and regulations that people have to follow. Green Bay is actually looking at it tonight, how they want to do it. I don't know if all... I'm thinking the only thing we need to do is look at how we can change our ordinance, bring that to the board for review, and like we did with some other topics, give the people who enforce our rules the tools to enforce the rules. So that's where I saw things in terms of what we can do with this. So I don't know if it'll be at the next meeting or the following one in October where we bring the proposed ordinance changes to the board, review that once we can agree upon that, and have a public hearing to change the ordinance.
Thank you. Any questions for Trustee Harris?
No, I just agree with you. I don't think Alloway is an issue. I think where the big problem is the Ishwaubenon and Green Bay right around Lambeau Field. If anybody hasn't been through the Party House district there, I've got some friends who live there. It's changing the nature of the neighborhood over there. They're having a substantial trouble, so I don't think our impact is at all.
Any other comments? Thank you, Trustee Harris. Item number 13. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrich. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.